Who are the men that pick for scraps amongst the ruins at the end of history? You should know, because you encounter them every day. Between the towering buildings of a fallen empire, we find the Fellaheen, the historyless men, who know nothing of the turning of the cosmic wheel and find themselves outside of civilization itself. Cut loose from the great chain of being, they represent the loam into which our dying culture will return. That is, unless we choose to take up the burden once again. This Fellaheen condition is the subject we explore in issue 4 of Islander Magazine, on sale while stocks last and available worldwide at shop.loadseaters.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Loadseaters, episode 1244 for Wednesday, September the 3rd, 2025. I'm your host, Luca, joined today by Harry.
Thank you. It's the 3rd of September, by the way.
Is that not what I said?
You said the September the 3rd.
Well, it might be both.
You said it in the American.
The September 3rd.
You said it Yankee.
Well, it's the 3rd of September then. And I'm also joined by Nate, who is not going to criticise how I say the date whatsoever.
Well, let's get ahead of ourselves.
I didn't need to. It's already been done.
All right, well, now that I've been policed thoroughly, today we're going to
This is the kind of school marming I can get behind. Yes. Well, actually, Luca, dear.
Yes, sir. Right, today we're going to be talking about the arrest of Graham Linehan. We're then going to be talking about the death of several AFD politicians. That has been
a seventh AFD politician has died, confirmed within the past 20 or so minutes before the podcast came on.
It's like the
Jesus,
the
Simpsons meet.
This one was 80 years old, so
a little bit more, I believe.
Right, perhaps it was natural causes, but again, all at once, maybe. I mean, I think they had like a 1,000 or 2,000 candidates, so it might just be coincidences.
And then for the last segment, we're going to be talking about our ancestors, the Black Anglo-Saxons, aren't we?
Do I look like a man with black ancestors?
According to the BBC.
Well, they never got anything wrong, did they?
Never once.
Jimmy who?
Right, so, some of you may have heard by now, the comic writer, activist, and all-round good guy, Graham Linehan, was arrested upon his return to the United Kingdom the other day, where he has obviously been away in America, arrived at Heathrow Airport, and then it's taken five armed police officers, to arrest Graham and basically give him a stern talking to, because he's committed some crimes, apparently.
Oh, theft, burglary, murder, arson, looting.
No. Opinions.
You needed a license for those tweets. That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't get a license for those tweets because they're illegal.
Well, I would just quickly remind you all that Island Magazine is still on sale. So if you'd like a copy, it's going very fast. There's not many more to go. So please do buy a copy of Islander. So Graham has, before my time here, has obviously been on...
Can we get the chat off of screen, please? Thank you.
Graham has been on the Lotus Eaters before. He also is on good relations now with Count Dankula, isn't he?
Yes.
There was a good apology there many years back. And so you can see...
He made a recent appearance with Ed Dutton, of all people,
Dutton.
Yeah.
As well.
That's quite a step for him.
Right. So he's in our circles, and he's a really good guy. And one of the things that Graham is most ardent about is obviously the trans nonsense, right? The mania. Yeah. And so here you are, and this is Graham's Substack, and I just thought that we'd go through it bit by bit as he describes what happened when he returned to London. So he says, "I arrived back in London to discover the UK is still a police state run by trans activists."
Can we go up and I just have a look at Graham again? So, no disrespect to Graham or anything like that, you know, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying this. I'm pretty certainly self-aware. He's not exactly the peak masculinity condition, is he? Five armed police for that? Are you joking? What an utter clown show! He's not going to be putting up a fight here, is he? He's not going
to
be.
Well, they've got to spend our tax money somehow.
What an epic waste of time. Epic waste of time, money, resources. If one armed police officer walked up to him and was like, "Hey, buddy, come with us. I'm sure he'd be like, yeah, sure, no worries, mate. Five.
Well,
five.
Better, safer for them arresting comedy writers, isn't it, than just policing the actual streets
I've
of
seen
London.
Them try to police London.
They're not very good at it.
No.
So it says, something odd happened before I even boarded the flight to Arizona. When I handed over my passport at the gate, the official told me I didn't have a seat and had to be re-ticketed. Mm-hmm. At the time, I thought it was just a sort of innocent snafu that makes air travel such a joy. But in hindsight, it was clear I'd been flagged. Someone, somewhere, probably wearing unconvincing makeup in his sister's wife's mum's underwear, had made a phone call. And then he goes on to mention the fact that these are the tweets. Right? These are the tweets that required Graham to be greeted at Heathrow Airport by five armed police officers.
Just 4 months down the line.
Right. Yeah. Just absolutely nothing.
Well, so
what was the one about the photo that you can smell?
Well, the photo you can smell, isn't it? It's just they
well, yes.
If you go up, so the only what, few things, observationally, a few things.
Please.
I was having a conversation with my good friend Bo.
Mm.
You guys might know him.
Don't you share your own show with him?
Yeah, there's a little channel called State of Politics. Go check it out. And we took a look at this, as you do. Mm. And the only thing that's possible here is the punch him in the balls part, which is obviously clearly a joke, right? Clearly a joke. Yeah, maybe that's probably what did it. But the rest of it doesn't make any sense at all. Because the bottom ones, like misogynists and homophobes, isn't that your own ideology? Isn't that, like, what's wrong with... If you scroll down...
Well, on the progressive stack.
Yeah, but...
Which a lot of them still like to try and adhere by. Like, homophobes and such... That all gets overwritten by trans.
Well, but so you can't hate misogynists and homophobes now, according to the state. That's what they imply here.
Because they put a dress
on. The hate tweets say you can't... Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. Totally absurd. Totally absurd.
No, it's all inconsistent. It's all farcical. But it's all dangerous. And, you know, getting in the way of good people's lives. And so, moving on with it, it says... when I saw the cops, I actually laughed. I couldn't help myself. Don't tell me. You've been sent by trans activists. The officers gave no reaction, and this was a theme throughout most of the day. Among the rank and file, there was a sort of polite bafflement, entirely professional and even kind, but most had absolutely no idea what any of this was about. Kind because the officers saw how upset I was when they began reading me my rights and the red mist descended, and I came close to becoming one of those police body cam videos where you can't believe the perp isn't just doing what he's told. And they treated me gently after that. They even arranged for a van to meet me on the tarmac so I didn't have to be perp walked through the airport like a terrorist. Small mercies. He then obviously goes on to say that later during the actual interview, the tone shifted. And then the officers conducting it asked about each of the terrible tweets that we've just been through with the sort of earnest intensity usually reserved for discussing something serious like, I don't know, crime. I explained that the punch tweet was a serious point made with a joke, which anyone could have identified, literally anyone. Men who enter women's space are abusers and they need to be challenged every time. The punch in the bollocks bit was about the height difference between men and women, the bollocks being closer to punch level for a woman defending her rights and certainly, and then interestingly as well, he says, not one of my best, but one of the female police officers said, we're not that small. So again, just total glibness.
You are.
A lot of women are that small. Also, it must have felt really heartbreaking for Graham, a professional comedy writer, to have to
explain the joke
like that. It's like, right, here's how it all works, guys, just in case you missed it, which clearly you did.
Mm.
Or they did it on purpose, because they missed it on purpose.
But as it goes on, eventually a nurse came to check on me and found my blood pressure was over 200.
That's mental.
Stroke territory. The stress of being arrested for jokes was literally threatening my life, so I was escorted to A&E, where I write this now after spending about 8 hours under observation.
Yeah, which is where that photo's from. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being like, you know, get a knock at the door, and you're like, oh yeah, I'll just go down and answer that door, and it's like a bloody five-armed policeman there, and they're like, guys, sorry, you know, Mr. Whatever. Need to need you to come with us. Like, for what? Some tweets. Oh no. Did I say something?
Mm.
Did I say something that hurt some fifis? Like, I couldn't stop myself being incredibly sarcastic with these absolute imbeciles.
Mm. And as he goes on to say here, absurd. I looked at the single bail condition. I am not to go on Twitter. Right? So in that spirit of not being allowed on Twitter, Graham has actually left us a statement that I'll read out now, where he just says, I've been harassed by police working on behalf of trans activists for 8 years now. My trans-identified accusers include a disgraced former policeman and a paedophile.
Mm.
It's helped make the UK unlivable for me, but of course, I'm just one of countless people who have faced this kind of overreach from UK police who have become institutionally misogynistic. So that's the statement that Graham has asked us to read out, seeing as he's not allowed to tweet it for himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's the barefaced lie Starmer likes to say in front of the world. We've had free speech for a very long time. Long tradition. We're going to keep it for a long time. Shut up, mate. Shut up. No one believes you, obviously. And this is just another example of it. I mean, it's absolutely absurd.
Indeed.
It's absolutely absurd. That Starmer read 1984 and was like, that's a blueprint. Let's do it. It's a manuscript for the future. What a clown show.
Well, I'd believe you if it weren't for the fact that he said he doesn't have a favourite book.
NPC.
Yeah. But as Graham rounds off with saying here, the civility of individual officers doesn't alter the fundamental reality of what happened. I was arrested at an airport like a terrorist, locked in a cell like a criminal, taken to hospital because the stress nearly killed me, and banned from speaking online, all because I made jokes that upset some psychotic cross-dressers. To me, this proves one thing beyond doubt. The UK has become a country that is hostile to freedom of speech, hostile to women, and far too accommodating to the demands of violent, entitled, abusive men who have turned the police into their personal goon squad.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And also, like, there's no excuse for the police to go along with this either. I mean, this is why, yeah, and props to any copper that's leaving. You know, stay for your pension and leave, sure, fine. Anyone that follows through with this in good faith, you're scum. You're scumbags. You're absolutely scumbags. There's no argument for, well, I'm just following orders. No, surely you get that message on high and you're like,
what? Well, I know people.
What am I doing?
Who, after last summer and all the events of this year so far, basically ever since Starmer came in and started to crack down on people the way that they have, I know people who've left the police force, which is... Yeah. You know, it's a shame because these are people who you would actually trust to police their communities.
Yeah, they're the good ones.
Leaving only the ones who are more than happy to act in this way.
Yeah.
So that with that big exodus, the police will only get worse and worse and worse. Mm.
But then, with their eye pointed squarely at the natives, then you know who the government fears the most. Right? Like, the police force, I think, is currently way larger than the army. Mm. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because they're afraid of the native population as well as the detritus they've imported, as opposed to foreigners, you know, in other countries. They're not worried about other countries. They're worried about at-home issues, and that's indicative of that straight away. Mm. 5-armed police. I can't believe that.
Oh, I know. Graham actually also put this on his Substack this morning as well, which is just an audio file. That because he recorded when they came to arrest him. And it's very, very muffled. It's hard to make out. But I transcribed just this one sentence from it, which is just the policeman saying to him, it's alleged that on the 19th of April, 2025, you published a post on X that was supposed to be intended to stir up hatred and incite violence.
Jeez.
And then for the most part, the rest of the audio is a lot of swearing and understandable anger. So, but obviously the other thing as well that is just worth mentioning is before Graham even made those tweets on April 19th, of course, the Supreme Court ruled the legal definition for what is a woman. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that I need some Supreme Court to decide what is true, right?
You're not Keir Starmer.
It's not true because the Supreme Court said it's true. It's true because it's reality.
Not only that, I don't know if you've got it in here, but having what they legal protection for those kind of beliefs is titled under gender critical beliefs is a protected philosophy now in law. So it's not only that, it's there's two things there that should have protected Graham. And so that's why, you know, that they came for him with malice, because gender critical, that's how they title it. Gender isn't a thing, quite frankly. Gender critical beliefs, that's a protected philosophy. That's legally enshrined now. I think there's like two or three cases. And then this as well, the Supreme Court ruling on the definition of a woman. So there's two things that should have prevented this from occurring. So why did it? Just malice.
Yeah, we'll get to why it happened or what the police have to say about it in just a moment. But obviously it's at that point now where, you know, what was once comedy and parodies is like, punch her in the balls, you know?
So true.
When I said as well that obviously we all realised that this was a joke in Graham's tweets, when I say everyone, of course, everyone didn't exclude, you know, include fringe lunatic party leaders, such as the new leader of the Green Party, who said that he thought that the response of the police was entirely proportionate to arrest him.
Yeah. I mean, of course you would, wouldn't you, Zach?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also, I think in the same interview, was like, no, Palestine Action, no, set them free, don't do anything to them.
But as Carl discovered...
Right, okay.
As Carl discovered, which he did for his daily video that will be out today, Zach also believes that he can use telekinesis and hypnosis to enlarge women's breasts.
Yeah, I've seen his dodgy background.
So he has plenty of kooky beliefs to do with sex and women.
Yeah, Zach Polanski is a testosterone void douche canoe, quite frankly.
Well said. So let's get to the Met response all of this, shall we?
I've not seen this.
So Met Commissioner, I'll just pull it up here where it's easier to see. Met Commissioner Samart Rowley said, on Monday, officers arrested a man in his 50s at Heathrow in relation to allegations of inciting violence linked to posts on X. The officers involved in the arrest had reasonable grounds to believe an offence had been committed under the Public Order Act.
Right.
And then gibberish and more gibberish follows. But this is the just baffling bit. It's like, I don't believe we should be policing toxic culture war debates, and officers are currently in an impossible position. I've offered to provide suggestions to the Home Office on where the law and policy should be clarified. Greater clarity and common sense would enable us to limit the resources we dedicate to tackling online statements to those cases creating real threats in the real world.
What?
Mark!
Just don't do it, mate.
Don't arrest him!
What are you doing? What?
I don't think that the English police have any real care about serious threats in the real world.
No, of course they don't.
No, because that's too difficult.
Yeah,
arresting an old man for some tweets, that's easy.
Arresting law-abiding white people with the wrong views on particular things. Now, that's easy because they're more likely to actually come along with the police. It's the others that aren't.
Yeah.
What an absolute clown country.
White people being... Just the English being the last demographic in England that actually is police with consent, right? And isn't... Although that's eroding
I don't think that's much longer.
Well, no, I don't think it's much longer for this world either. But
I mean, look at Epping, which we'll discuss in more detail tomorrow, where the people tried to put their have their say, tried to go through a peaceful and legal means to enact change in their local community. The government took them to court over it and had it thrown out because they wanted to maintain the status quo. What status quo is that? The one where you and your family, and particularly your daughters, are in constant danger of this kind of stuff, of the foreign invaders, of being invaded in their personal spaces. It's awful. Yeah.
I don't know if you've included it, but Keir Starmer apparently came out and was like, yeah, the police should not be doing stuff like that. It's like, right, okay. So, well, one, if you've just woken up, this has been going on for ages, just idiot. But secondly, if you've got Mark Rowley saying, yeah, we shouldn't be doing that, and then you've got Keir Starmer saying, yeah, I don't want you to do that, just stop doing it then. Oh, no, but wait, you want to do this, obviously. That's the aim. That's the point. You're enjoying doing what you do because you're getting a little, I don't know, power trip.
I think they also like to sow confusion. with incidents like this, where the police are acting one way, but you're getting messaging that's the complete opposite from the Prime Minister and the Met Commissioner. Perhaps it really is that they are so incompetent that they have no control over the actions of the police who are just on the ground. Or maybe it's that they just want to throw constant confusion out to people because it makes it more difficult for them to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Indeed. So you have Farage here saying that he's basically going to raise this incident at Capitol Hill tomorrow because, surprise, surprise, Farage is in Washington right now. And he's speaking at the House Judiciary Committee. He'll also be raising the case of Lucy Connolly as well, amongst other things on how the degradation of free speech in the United Kingdom is, of course. The American government is interested in how that's affecting American citizens. But Lucy Connolly and now Graham Linehan are two of those things that Farage will be raising for all of the crap I give him. But obviously as well, our man.
But fascinating note that he didn't say, if you vote for reform, we'll enshrine free speech in law. Wow. He's not said anything like that, has he? Clown. Absolute clown.
Well, so Rupert is obviously, as always, doing good work as well. He's actually written to the Home Secretary, who I'm sure will read it, and I'm sure cares greatly about this issue, about obviously what's happened to Graham, and I hope that Rupert, obviously, with his influence, can move some things. But as well, Andrew Doyle raises a point here about why was Graham even coming back to the United Kingdom now of all times anyway from his trip to America? Well, if what Andrew says is true, like he's appearing in court today because he stood up to some guy in the video who was harassing a woman at an event in London. So he's...
Don't people. We're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. So he's taking part in a trial. Another thing as well that I wanted to raise, other than the particular case of Graham, is that we also have things stirring with the account Active Patriot on Twitter, where he's been arrested, charged, and one of his bail conditions as well was to be banned from using social media, attending protests, and effectively being put under house arrest. But it doesn't surprise me that this is now something that we're seeing more and more.
Yeah.
The bail conditions are you're not allowed to use Twitter. You're not allowed to go on X, right? The condition for your freedom, for your release, is not using social media. Because obviously these people have sway, they have pull, they have influence.
Yeah.
They get many, many views on there. And let's face it, from both kinds, they offer far more common sense than anything the government's thrown out in our own lifetimes. So, yeah, it's dark stuff. It's dark stuff. Obviously, Graham isn't going to take this all lying down. And he will be suing. So, as the Free Speech Union points out here, Daniel Burke, top solicitor, has been appointed by the union and is going to help Graham sue the Met Police for wrongful arrest and false imprisonment, as well as breaches to his free speech rights.
I will say, I mean, he's suing us because our money that he'll get.
Of course.
So that really is important to note. When anyone sues the government or any institution, it is our money that's being handed over. Government, they don't have money, it's ours. Yeah, kudos to him. Like, definitely do it for sure. But I always like to throw that in.
No,
because it's still more of our money that... Well, it should pour more fuel on the fire of hatred for the government, quite frankly, because it's more money that didn't need to be taken from us.
Indeed.
Right? If they stopped spaffing up the wall on ridiculous policies from policing, they wouldn't get sued and then more of our money wouldn't be given away. So, but it's an important point to make, I think.
No, very true. So, yeah, obviously, I hope that Graham sues. I hope he wins. And hang in there, Graham, because there are many of us who support you. We're all behind you. And when it comes to the very charges that you're obviously being arrested for, those tweets, you're obviously in the right. So just keep going. I'll just read some of the Rumble rants here. We've got Engage Few says, someone should remind these officers what... Yeah, okay, I see it, Engaged. And Ryan Hin, Threegan says, ripped to Dankula's dog, Buddha. Yeah, indeed, yeah. Respects to Buddha.
A formative moment in my political journey. Buddha is now in the big Argentina in the sky. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
May I have the mouse? We also have some super chats on YouTube. I'll read some of these out. BT Wicks, I believe. We're really at the point where UK citizens will need to plan runs to the US embassy to apply for political asylum for ex-posts. Bet those requests get granted, perhaps. Someone says, when is big lad Davy Jones returning to the lads' hours? Does he need to wait another 10 years before setting foot on land again? Now he's got another saucy affair with a sea beast. Don't take that seriously.
What is this?
One of our members of staff likes to appear on the lads' hours wearing a squid mask.
An alter ego.
Yes. Hello, friends. Love your live streams and the many good things you do. Also, Luca, where can I get that amazing mug you have?
I'll post a link on X when I'm done with the podcast.
We're not that small. She did the IQ meme, Lamau.
I did think that.
Yeah, yeah. How can I fit my personalised anecdote into this general statement? All women, all the time. Adam, wait for it. I can see you typing right now. I don't do it. You're just proving my point. The state will go to these lengths because of the nature of the subject. The state knows that none of trans ideology is true, but must double down because of the damage done medically and socially. Mm. Harry rocking the Qui-Gon Jinn haircut lately. Yes, and it looks damn good. And one other rumble rant, as the head of FairCop said on this very podcast, Mr. H, until plods start going to jail for this behavior, it won't change. Yep. That's the watershed. There needs to be some kind of punishment. Mm-hmm. There needs to be consequences for certain actions. Either way, so I'm going to take a look in this segment at the mystery surrounding the spate of AFD politicians who have been dropping like flies over the past two or so weeks in the lead-up to the North Rhine-Westphalia, or is it Westphalia? How do I pronounce it? Westphalia?
Westphalia, I think.
Yeah, Westphalia elections. I don't believe these are federal elections. They were earlier on this year. These are more municipal and local government-style elections. In the lead-up to presenting this segment, it had been capped at 6. AFD politicians had all died within very close time to one another. Now, about 20 minutes before this podcast began, another one was confirmed to have died, a 7th one. So the question is, are there suspicious circumstances surrounding these? Or is it just the case, as some like Carl have suggested, that the AFD is just a bit of a boomer party filled with older people with medical conditions, and while unlikely, this is just a coincidence that's happened? I'll take us through the information, and you can make your own mind up. But something I will try and get you to do right now, you don't have a choice in this, in fact, you're going to buy Islander 4 while it's still available. Now, before we came on as well, we looked, some people on eBay are already trying to sell this for hundreds of pounds.
That exact issue.
Exact issue with a small shipping fee. Now, I don't know why you would want to go on eBay and do such a thing when we still have them available for the low, low price of £14.99. So months from now, when this is no longer available from us officially, and you think to yourself, oh boy, I wish that I'd bought a copy of Islander 4. Maybe there's still some available for resale. And you go on eBay and you find people flogging them for £400. You'll be kicking yourself that you didn't pick it up while it was still at the ever so reasonable price of £14.99. Do you want to be a sucker? Do you want to be a moron? Do you want to wake up in the morning and see Down syndrome in the mirror? No, then buy Islander, said my piece on that. So the news that's been going around, again, this is all stuff that I had collected right before it was announced that a 7th candidate had died, was 6 AFD candidates died suddenly and unexpectedly before these key state elections. 4 of them, I believe, were primary candidates. 2 of them were reserve candidates potentially standing. Now, people like Tommy have been boosting this. Another candidate has died unexpectedly ahead of the local elections, making the 4th such case nationwide. So this has been building up. So this was on the 4th, the 1st of September. We're 2 days out from that, and more more keep happening. As the German outlet WDR reported, AfD's direct candidate for the council in Blomberg, 66-year-old Ralph Lang, died on the 28th of August. His death automatically rendered invalid polling cards and postal ballot documents already sent out, putting pressure on the city admin to reprint and resend them in time. So this, as is stated here, is causing a little bit of an issue with the elections, because lots of people will have, or potentially already, I believe the elections are being held on the 14th of September. They're sending out everything, including postal votes. So they're going to have to change everything around, get candidates taken off of these. Because you don't want people who don't pay attention to the news.
Yeah.
I question why those people are allowed to vote. But still, people who aren't paying attention to the news don't know that this candidate has died and are just going to tick because it's AfD. You don't want them voting for a dead person. It would be kind of like Uno Reverso on the Biden situation back in 20... But that's neither here nor there. Mario Norfolk was posting about it as well. Again, it had ramped up to six of them. The police have said that there's no sign of foul play, but the cluster raised suspicion inside the party, with leaders calling it statistically striking. Now, there was one phrase I saw repeated over and over again with this, which was statistically striking / statistical impossibility.
I mean,
it is
a bit weird.
It is very rare that in the month leading up to this election, just 2 weeks out from it, less than 2 weeks out, all of these people would start to die all at once. Now, again, I decided to look into how statistically striking it would be. Or if it was a statistical impossibility. Carl was asking people about it as well. Here are the names of the six who died, not the seventh included in this, and their cause of death. So you have ages ranging from 59 to 72. There are two that we don't know the age of. One was deemed a self-ending. And the rest are sudden and unexpected or kidney failure. It seems that some of them might have had pre-existing health conditions, which might have potentially contributed to all this. So what I did, and I don't ever use Grok, because it can and it will just lie to you, like all of the LLMs, right? Because they're not actually having a conversation with you. They're guessing words that they think would fit after being given a question, right? But I thought, if there's one thing that this is going to be good for, it's calculating percentages, calculating chances. If I just give it basically a mathematical equation to solve for me, it should have the computing power to do that. And so I just asked, okay, given this scenario, given these circumstances, what is the chance that it would be all due to natural causes? How often would you expect something like this to happen? And it gave me a result back that was anywhere between, depending on certain variables, the highest chance that you would have of all of this happening normally, it gave a 1 in 100. So quite low chances, but still possible. With different variables, it said it could go anywhere as low as 1 in 42 million.
Right.
Now, taking it up to 1 in 100, that means that it's possible, but unlikely.
Yeah.
And now that we have a seventh name to add to this as well, well, then it makes it slightly more unlikely as well, even at the highest chances of it. So, again, all we know is what the media is reporting right now. The police have just immediately said there is nothing to be concerned about. It's all just due to natural causes. Hmm. And to be fair as well, in a large-scale election like this, I believe there's about 20,000 candidates being fielded for elections. And of those, about 1,000 to 2,000 are in the AfD party. So of the candidates being put forward, it is still a very small chance. However, we also have to recognize that the AfD is a threat to the German establishment, has been recognized as a threat to the German establishment, where the German government was admitted to spying on the AfD earlier this year. And a lot of AfD candidates and members have faced explicit calls for violence. It's almost seen to be permitted to be violent and aggressive and abusive towards AfD candidates. So there is potentially reason to suspect foul play, even if the police haven't said anything about it. Given the information that we have right now, it's kind of something that you have to make your own mind up about, and I apologize for doing that. I don't know how that happened. I think that's the same link again anyway. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, oh, it was the same thing again. It was the same person who was posting this under here. And again, this is on the latest one. So this is from a German website, so it's saying it's risen to 7. I didn't have chance to look over this before we came on because it happened right before we started broadcasting. So they say here, another death in the ranks of the AfD candidates for the NRW local elections. According to Politico information, a direct candidate from Rennschild died, according to his party, of natural causes. The AfD regional association in the North Rhine-Westphalia now records 7 deaths of candidates in local elections. In addition to the 6 already known, there is now Hans-Joachim Kind, a direct candidate in Kremenhall, a district in the south of Remscheid. The AfD... I'm so sorry if I'm pronouncing these German words wrong, by the way. The AfD confirmed this to the news magazine Politico. The 80-year-old died of natural causes after a long illness in Kremenhall 2. The ballot papers now have to be reprinted. Postal voters have to re-elect. And with that, this is something to point out here, looking at this. 80-year-old who had a long illness that clearly would have been debilitating if it was so close to already killing him. So that we have really one of two options here, which is that there is foul play, that people are covering up, and people are broadcasting that this and signposting that this might be something wrong with the way that the party is being treated, or the AfD, purely with the aim of getting as many candidates out there and available as possible, is choosing anybody and everybody to fill these local municipal positions in the local state elections, and they don't really care how fit, like, purely physically fit you might be for the position.
Makes me wonder.
If it really is that they all have died of genuinely natural causes, then maybe the AfD needs to have some kind of health and fitness check before they'll let you stand for them.
Yeah, makes me wonder how many sudden deaths there might have been from other German parties.
Well, I believe there's been 6 deaths as part of the Social Democrats,
right,
and possibly the CDU, possibly one of the other parties. Germany has a lot of parties.
Sure.
Possibly the CDU, possibly one of the other ones. 6 non-AfD deaths have happened as well.
So in the same time period.
Within a similar time period.
I mean, that's all a bit weird.
So it might be that the AfD and all the other parties are deciding to mass poison one another. It might also be that Germany is filled with unhealthy, aging, dying political candidates who they'll put up for election anyway just to fill up the numbers for the local state elections. So you can decide what you think with the information provided so far. Moving on, again, the information that we had prior to the 7th one was that the police are saying there's no evidence of foul play. Investigations are ongoing. The cause of most of the deaths have been determined. Ralph Lang and Wolfgang Klinger had serious pre-existing conditions, according to the spokesperson for that region's AfD. Wolfgang Seitz also had pre-existing conditions and suffered a heart attack. Stefan Berendez died of natural causes. Of the reserve list candidates, René Hereford had a pre-existing liver condition and died of kidney failure, while Patrick Tietz committed self-ending. The deputy leader of the party state chapter has announced that they are doing an investigation into these cases, so we'll see if anything comes of that. Kate Gottschalk said that there is no reason to assume that what happened is no coincidence. The Bundestag members also added the party wants to look into the cases without immediately getting into conspiracy theoretical territory. Again, as low as the chances of such a thing are, if it is just that the AfD are being irresponsible with candidate selection to fill up the numbers, perhaps it is just that they just chose a load of people who were already dying, or in one case... who didn't consider themselves as having much to live for. But we'll see what happens. I know Alice Wiedel, the leader of the party, amplified the theorizing about it, because that whole statistically impossible figure came from a German economist who said it's statistically impossible. She boosted that over the weekend, which is where a lot of people have picked up that from. One of my favorite articles regarding this, if only for the title, was this one from the European Conservative called AfD, Appointed for Death? I hope you got a raise for that one, Mr. Editor.
So punny.
One of the interesting things that it mentions in here is that the AFD, despite not looking like they were going to be leaping ahead in the polls to victory on this one, like so many other regions of Germany, are showing a huge jump up from where they were only a few years ago. So they say the AFD isn't a threat to win in these upcoming local elections. In North Rhine-Westphalia, the Christian Democrats are comfortably ahead of the pack, polling at 36%, followed by the Social Democrats at 23%. But the AFD, such a new party, is in third place with just shy of 16%. And that's up from a few years ago when they were polling at like 1 and 2% before things got quite as bad in Germany as they have now. Because, of course, every single year, things get worse and worse, a bit like compound interest. The more invaders that you have in your country, the more things get worse and more quickly at that. So one of the interesting things related to that, though, that is in this article, is the way that the rest of the parties other than the AFD are treating this election. So last week, according to this article, which was published, let me see here, just yesterday. So last week, all the political parties, except for the AFD in Cologne, vowed not to criticize migrants or migration during the campaign.
I heard this.
Under the so-called Fairness Pact, parties said that they will not campaign at the expense of people with a migrant background. I love the inhuman bureaucratizing language used to describe these invaders. People with a migrant background, foreigners. It's easy to say, outsiders, aliens, all of these words far more suitable. Aggressive invaders, them living among us. And we will not blame immigrants for negative social developments such as unemployment or threats to internal security or other things that are obviously the fault of aggressive foreigners being in our country.
We won't blame them for the things
that they're obviously responsible for, and by virtue of us letting them in and sanctioning them being here, are also responsible for. No, because that would mean taking accountability and responsibility for our own stupid actions, when actually we just, as German politicians, hate the German people, as we have for a long time, and want to see them suffer. The AfD are the only party not doing that in these elections, not saying that. They point out here, this development is especially bizarre, given that Cologne was the site of mass SAs, sexual assaults, of German women by Arab and African men on New Year's Eve 2015 to 2016. According to German police, of the 153 suspects identified in the attacks, given that this was thousands and thousands of women, and it was only 153 suspects, I suspect, as many people do, that a lot of people just got away with that scot-free.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of people got away with it. Two-thirds of these suspects were either from Morocco or Algeria, 44% were asylum seekers, and another 12% were probably in Germany illegally. Most of these people now probably German citizens. Since 2022, when the Russia-Ukraine war began, Germany has accepted 2 million refugees, enough to fill two cities the size of Cologne. Since the Syrian war crisis of 2015, when Merkel opened Germany's borders, Germany has taken in between 10 and 15 million migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers. And not a single negative thing has come of it, has it? Oh, wait. Germany's total population is around 84 million. According to official statistics, almost 20% of Germany's population is foreign-born, or born in Germany to foreign-born parents. But, of course, they've got a little piece of paper that says that they are just as German as Frederick the Great was. So you can't criticize their actions because they're all the same. We're all the same, aren't we? On the inside and outside. The only thing that separates us is just the different shades that we come in. And maybe the different height or susceptibility to certain diseases. Everybody knows that evolution stops right there, because that's how nature works. A January national poll showed that 2 out of 3 Germans believe the country should have permanent border controls, with 57% wanting to refuse all foreigners without proper papers, even asylum seekers. That's weak, moderate, just refuse all foreigners, even other Europeans. You guys need to sort yourselves out, and for a while, just like most other European countries do. After the last national election, AfD became the second largest party in the Bundestag, but all other parties refused to work with his members. Meanwhile, the latest national polling shows AfD running neck and neck with the declining Christian Democrats and Christian Social Union coalition. I think they're about 25%, 25% even, which again, for such a new party, is pretty huge shooting up.
And speaks to the level of threat that people are under.
Yeah, and they point out here as well that Thierry Breton, former member of the European Commission, said on television in January that if German voters chose badly at the federal elections, that is, get the AfD in a majority, the EU was prepared to annul the election. We did it in Romania, quote, here's the quote, we did it in Romania, and obviously we'll do it in Germany, end quote.
Oh, not at all authoritarian, not at all fascist.
I
And democratic.
I love democracy. How ironic.
But on the whole thing of, like, you know, they're not wanting to criticise migrants or migration unless you're the AfD, you know, that really makes sense in a country where you just get constant harrowing, horrifying headlines from Remix, which is possibly the most black-pilling publication next to the Lotus Eaters out there. Like this one, Germany, Lebanese man jailed for 4 years for assault of two teenagers he wooed on Snapchat.
Disgusting.
Beautiful. And of course, he got other people involved in it. Germany, 19-year-old woman gang raped on top of her own vomit by three men who are now standing trial for attempted murder. This one, I think, is basically a repeat of reports that came out last year, but now they've got the official statistics confirming everything that they already knew. So this article was published 4 weeks ago, but it's confirmed now. Record number of gang rape suspects in Germany in 2024, with over half being foreign nationals. And again, foreign nationals, as far as I'm aware with Germany, simply means they don't have a German passport yet.
Yeah, so it's going to be higher.
Yeah. And if they do get caught and they do get charged with something, let's not forget this case from last year where 8 of 9 men convicted of the gang rape of a 15-year-old in Germany received no prison time. And just to remind everybody how brainwashed Germans have become over the past few decades to believe that they deserve this. One of the arguments made by a psychiatrist, Nala Samay, who reportedly appeared before the court as an expert witness, one of the excuses given for why they did this and why we shouldn't be surprised that they did this, should accept that they did this, and in fact should feel bad that we forced them to do it to us, was in an interview with Der Spiegel, the gang rape may have been a way to vent frustration due to migration experiences and socio-cultural homelessness. Dr. Samai said prisoners, perpetrators who live on the margins of society, completely uprooted culturally, linguistically, and socially, could face a mix of emotions, anger, sadness, powerlessness, depression, fantasies of grandeur as compensation to attempt to cope with one's own misery and drug use. Disordered, unprepared migration experiences and socio-cultural homelessness increase the risk of addiction and psychosis, and also sex as a means of venting frustration and anger. Therefore, you did it to yourselves! You did it to yourselves, Germany, by letting these people in the first place and just not making them feel welcome enough. You didn't give them the right hug box, according to this psychiatrist, who supposedly was an expert witness in this trial, in which a bunch of gang rapists, all but one, got off with no prison time whatsoever.
Monstrous.
And that is why it is important for there to be at least one party in Germany who are calling this out, who are speaking about this unashamedly and not allowing the brainwashing that has happened to them over decades to give up, lay down, and let themselves be abused. When it comes to this whole deaths thing, you can make up your own mind on that. But if you are in the state where they're going to be electing these people, I mean, who else are you going to go for, right? Okay. I'll go with the Super Chats and Rumble Rants. Ryan Hinnigan, I wouldn't put it past the German establishment to be more subtle, to be a more subtle Mexico, where 38 anti-cartel federal legislature candidates were assassinated on election night in fall 2024. TomRat247, Harry is right, I've bought all four Islanders and want you guys to make an annual folio case, and I can put them in. This will look lovely on my wall, as I can't read. Neither can I. Neither can I. One struggle, brother. DXTN64 says, crossing my fingers this time my copy of Islander doesn't take 2 months to reach me like Islander 3. I thought we solved that problem for Islander 3. I'm sorry. Hopefully it arrives before stocks go. By the way, it was my country's problem, not DHL. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm still sorry that you had a struggle getting it through. And on the Super Chats on YouTube, Keir Starmer eats corn the long way. love what you're all doing pushing back against Keir's stormtroopers in the UK. Harry's part marketing is peer pressure done correctly. Yes, that's
right. And aggressively.
Right. I have to bully you all into making the right choice. I'm a dad. That's what I'm used to now. I have to basically shame you into making the right decisions. This is the kind of stuff that will make new AFD voters and candidates faster than they can be taken off the ballot. Prayers and sympathies from Tennessee, gentlemen. Free Graham.
Yeah.
Indeed. He's right. Controlling the bloody mouse. Stop moving the mouse.
Samson, stop trying to sabotage our guests.
Scaring him. Come here.
I don't think it'd be easy to scare Nate.
No, I'm not scared. So guys, look, Islander. This is pretty decent, isn't it? Sweet. Buy it. Alright? There you go.
That's pretty decent, is it?
Sweet. Buy it. It's nice. And Harry might drop his kecks one day. There you go. Also, I've been told to shill Super Chats. So if you haven't been doing the Super Chats, because obviously us here at Lotus Eaters, I'm going to count me in here as well. we're live now on YouTube, so it's a really good way to support the show. So why not chuck in a dollar or two? Right, there you go, shilling out the way. So, guys, I want to talk about our great and storied history, Anglo-Saxons, okay, otherwise known as the Afro-Blaxons. Okay.
I mean, I already knew you were going to say that, and it's still funny.
I didn't. That's good.
Oh dear. Okay. So last few times I've been here, sort of blackpilling. So I thought I'd do something funny, but obviously still relevant, right? It's the constant erasure of our history through many, many different ways. So this is a new BBC show, drama. It is a drama, okay? But it is obviously based on the Battle of Hastings. It's called King and Conqueror. And that, my dear fellows, is an Afro-Blaxon.
That's your direct ancestor there, Nate.
I can see the family resemblance.
I can see it. I can see it. Luca, it might be yours as well. You guys might be distant relatives.
Don't think
Could
so.
Be. No. What about you?
Oh, well, no.
What do you mean, no?
He doesn't look like a Robinson.
Not to me. Looks like a Harry, though.
No, you're saying that's... is that Harold Godwinson? That's who they've cast to play him. If you really squint at the Bayeux tapestry, he looks pretty black.
You foreshadowed something.
Oh, no. Is this the guy that Septimius Severus got really scared of at the at Hadrian's Wall?
Just ran away real quick.
Yeah, yeah. They say black don't crack, you know. He lived a pretty long time after
this
that.
Is it. This is it. So, look, obviously, this is just... It's laughable, clearly. This generated quite a lot of views, to be honest.
Yeah.
11.3 million, which is insane. And quite rightly so. You know, it deserves to be laughed at.
I love that he has to specify, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. I'm not making this up. The BBC are actually doing this, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of see how the BBC could think they could get away with it with the Roman Empire and horrible histories.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Trying to suggest, because Rome by at its height was a multiracial empire, yep, as they always end up being, you could try and sneak in, as ahistorical as it would be, that, well, maybe there were a few more African soldiers or slaves over here than we initially thought. It's still rubbish and it's still not true, but you can see how, but this is like literally fall of Rome, Anglo-Saxon Christian England. Like the only people who were here were Anglo-Saxons, and we'd scared all of the Britons off into the western corners of the island. Like those are the only people who are here, and some Vikings who we kept having to kick out.
He's well Anglo-Saxon, mate. Come on. What are you talking about?
I mean, there's that other picture that's been going around recently of what an Anglo-Saxon looked like, and he just kind of looked like me after a few pints on Saturday.
Like Gerald from Clarkson's Farm.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Well, it's, I mean, especially when, because, you know, obviously this sort of thing's been going on for years now.
Yeah.
And when it really started, I remember getting furious about it and all that. I'm at the point now where you just laugh, you roll with the punches. And
yeah.
I mean, it's still, I hate it. I obviously hate it, but I'm not raging at it. We have bigger problems, and we sort those problems out.
We've got huge problems. This is a symptom
of
those problems, though, because one, it's supposed to try to basically lie not only to the natives of this country, but lie to the invaders to try and give them some kind of buy-in. By including them in our history. But also, it does. I would worry that young people will be watching this and getting their idea of history from this, because there have been many studies done showing that people basically get their idea of reality through the fiction and television that they consume.
Yeah.
There were those surveys done in America years ago where they were suggesting, okay, what's your guess of how large this population in America is versus the actual reality? And it's like trans, they guessed it was 10 times more than it is. Jews, they guessed it was like 30 times more than it actually is. Blacks, they thought made up like half the population because that's how it's portrayed on TV. However, I don't worry as much about that at the moment, because as Dan has stated before, if you think Gen Z is bad, like the new generation are going to get most of their history from Zuma Historian and other similar channels. So they're not going to get this look of history. No. They're going to get a very different look at history.
Yeah, well, so that you've kind of foreshadowed one of my points, actually. And so we're sort of brief through it.
I'm so sorry, Nick.
No, it's all right. This isn't going to load either by the looks of it. I don't know if we can. Can we reload this?
So in this clip, is it more than just that one guy who's black? Is it just
loads
of them?
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah, there's a fair few.
So a bit of everything in there.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah. Come on now. Diversity is our strength. Okay, well,
I mean, clearly it wasn't, though, because we got invaded.
It's true.
I mean, so what? The Normans come in, they take over because it turns out they were less diverse and more strong than us.
Yeah.
And then what? Was the harrying of the North actually some kind of mass Bantu genocide situation?
Honestly. Well, maybe these are the progenitors of the king of Kabbalah. Who knows?
I mean,
the guy in Scotland. This isn't going to load, so whatever. Let's move on. Here's a screenshot. Here's one of them.
Oh, my God.
So there you go.
You see, although...
I want to leave that there, just for people to look at, obviously, because this is just absurd.
Although I said that I, you know, I can roll with the punches a bit more on when they do stuff like this. I tell you where my anger does lie, though. Not just with the BBC, of course, who cast it all, but genuinely with the actors who do it as well.
Yeah, it's a multitude.
Because they know they're lying.
Yeah.
They know they're lying, but they're either doing it as some form of, like, cultural dominance over us and our national story, or they're just doing it because it's a paycheck, right?
Yeah.
And they're willing to just go along with that lie because it's a job.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's important not to actually trivialise it. Like, this is a bit of fun, obviously, you know, Afro-Blackson and stuff like that, highly comical. Take the props for that one. But there is a more serious tone to it, really, is that, you know, it's really vindictive. It's actually quite sick.
Yeah, it's pernicious.
Right? You know, whenever this stuff happens nowadays, I'm like, of course they did. Because it is so, you know, prevalent. It is so rife. But it is still really disgusting. You know, it is disgusting. It is foul. And it comes from a place of absolute hatred for white people. That's all it is. Like, it's, we will genocide you to oblivion. Right, in all aspects, we'll remove your history, we'll remove your culture, the history. It's to remove your anchor, you know, as a group of people. Yes. So there is a more serious tone erasure. To it.
We will.
Yeah, it's absolutely
which is actually listed as part of some definitions of the G word, which...
Oh, yeah, I'm not...
Are we allowed to say that on YouTube?
I did a hard G there.
No. We're not. All right.
Sorry about that.
Ignore you heard that. Don't tell Mr. Soz. Mohan.
Soz. And so there's a little bit
right,
more here.
You say, it's because it's also... It's having their own cultures, their own history promoted at all times and also claiming yours as theirs as well.
Exactly.
So you're left with nothing.
Yeah, precisely. And then even if you do, like Anglo-Saxon was on that list of, you know, far-right nonsense, wasn't it? It was on a government watch list.
With the Lord of the Rings, Bridge on the River Kwai.
But this is okay if they're black. It's like, make your mind up. This is just a complete clown show. There you go.
No.
Oh yeah.
Wait.
It's like they've gone into MS Paint and used the filler tool on the faces.
In another era, they would call that problematic.
I mean,
I do consider it problematic.
Well, I do, but for different reasons.
Yes.
So I told you foreshadowed it.
Oh, no, I just used a lefty woke word. James Lindsay's going to be very angry at me, guys.
Oh, yeah, can't do that. Everyone's just posting about it. As it says, you know, King and Conqueror trivializes the most famous date in English history. In a new low for woke diversity casting. Was it deemed contrary to the ruling law of inclusivity if the 1066 black Anglo-Saxon community were not repressed in this purportedly authentic historical drama?
I guess not.
Do we have the viewing figures for how this did? Well, am I getting ahead of myself?
Yeah. Does
the BBC present viewing figures? Sure.
They do. There's the official figures by Barb, which is the official. They sort of aggregate the figures.
Yeah.
But we've got another metric which we'll look at as well.
Okay.
But I also wanted to put this here and say.
Yeah, I watched his video on this, Tom's, because they were trying to... There was a paper that came out that was trying to represent these two skeletons that they'd found out of hundreds that suggested that they had very minor levels of mainly North African admixture, Moorish admixture, like less than about a quarter. And then try and present these people as having been a record of historically multicultural black England. And then he's pointing out, well, here's a woman who's actually one third black, and she doesn't look very black. She's got some features.
Would actually be cast as Snow White.
And she's got ridiculously pale skin.
Yeah.
But don't you know? All right, the Afro Blacksons were a thing. So
clearly,
I didn't know.
Clearly,
mate. Thank you for informing me.
Oh, it's got to be done right. But I mean, you know, this is one of many, and this has not gone down very well, as you can see. Now, Rotten Tomatoes gets a bad rap. They've obviously manipulated statistics and figures here and there. Mm. There's a few ways you can use Rotten Tomatoes as a good aggregate source for metrics. So, the amount of reviews, and there's only 50 plus. Do you see what I mean? Like, no one's watching it. Critics or audiences, 36%. So there's ways where you can use this as a good source, you know, comparative metrics.
So such a waste as well. You've literally got Jamie Lannister.
They spent a lot of money on this.
To play William the Conqueror.
They spent
such a good casting. Wasted.
Yeah, no, they...
Wait, who did they have playing...
Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who played Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, they spent a lot of cash on
this. That's a waste of a casting choice.
Hell of a lot of cash. And obviously, everyone's just destroying it.
Mm.
Embarrassment, wokey. Really wanted to like it. Second episode, terrible, blah, blah, blah. And people are just ripping it apart. You know, costumes, set design, props, everything bad.
Teenager could have written something better. So it's not even on its own merits as an attempt to tell the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
People are not enjoying it.
Yeah, which is fascinating because they've genuinely actually spent a hell of a lot of money on this. It's not a small production. This is a really big production for the BBC. So, you know, this is obviously a bit of fun. It is a bit of fun. But a bit more seriously, right, is that, you know, we've seen this rife within the BBC as a whole. But it's also other countries and other people's history as well. So take Yasuke, the Black Samurai, that they attempted to shoehorn in everywhere.
Heard of
you know, that was a crowbarring in of black revisionist history, because that's all it boils down to. It's just black revisionist history.
And at least he was real, even if his actual role in history was has been massively exaggerated. We do have contemporary records that suggest he was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The individual did exist. Yeah. Not to the degree.
I mean, he wasn't some kind of samurai warrior hero that they all looked up to. He was kind of just a retainer.
Yeah, he was just a sword carrier. Just fetch my sword, boy.
Who was a slave.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was sold. He was just given away.
Yeah.
Have him. It's an obscurity. Just
slave,
have him.
Samurai. Let's not split hairs about this.
Yeah.
So obviously, look, the aim is demoralization, right? So it's to dismember you from your ancestry. That is the aim, pure and simple. You know, so you can be malleable for progressive, diverse, shitlib future. And obviously that has failed, evidently, as we can see from, you know, from these things. Like no one's even watching it. No one's interested. And again, I think another key point of this, if I can move this bloody mouse, another key point of this, which you raised, which is children. You know, children get their history from things like this. It's diminishing more and more, obviously, because people's attention spans are now just 20 seconds long, courtesy of TikTok.
Well, especially diminishing as well on, you know, like old channels like the BBC.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's
you're not going to
the
BBC to get, you know, you're going to YouTube or Netflix or whatever it may be.
And this kind of thing is going to give them the same kind of reputation that the History Channel started to get when everybody noticed that the only thing History Channel was really pushing was Ancient Aliens. This is the BBC's equivalent of Ancient Aliens.
Well, they've done it so much. There was even a show about a bunch of black people in the Blitz. I don't know if you spotted.
Oh yeah, Steve McQueen.
Everywhere.
There was Sir Steve Gary McQueen. Oldman film where he played Churchill in London, and when he's on the train in London, and he's having a crisis of faith. Will he be able to stand up for England? It's a black Londoner who just happened to be on the tube at the time who gives him the pep talk he needs to be able to carry on and save Britain.
You've got also, when we were saying about...
It's so farcical.
Yeah, when this stuff being... Because it's like, I remember even back in like the start of the 2010s, right, there was still some authenticity. Like, you would watch the first season of Wolf Hall, which was a BBC production, Mark Rylance. It was fantastic, and it was all accurately casted. And then they've gone and made the second season recently. And so, okay, well, the first series ended in 1536, and the next series is picking up immediately after, but now all of a sudden, like, all of the courtiers are diverse. Like, what the hell happened in the space of a week? Henry VIII, what have you done? You know, it's like, it's just absurd.
It's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But there you go. Black Anglo-Saxons, they were a thing, all right? But they prefer to be named.
And don't you dare question it, or you'll get a knock round yours.
Oh, yes. Shall we get to some of these?
Sure.
What we got? We got a Rumble rant. It says I've got the perfect Afro Blackson, Nate. Chelsea's Cole Palmer. Take a look at his granddad. He's from St. Kitts.
Have you seen this guy?
No.
Samson, type in to Google Cole Palmer grandfather and go onto the images, because it's quite interesting. There you go. That is a Chelsea footballer with his supposedly biological grandfather. Now, I either think that there is some maybe lies being told within the family, or this is an example of pure English genetic domination that within two generations,
all the blacks gone,
completely unrecognizable. Because I know. I used to be in a band when I was a teenager with a mixed lad who his grandfather, I think his mum was mixed and his grandfather was from Jamaica. And you couldn't tell.
Mm.
You couldn't tell. He had pale eyes. He was actually one of the whitest guys I've ever met in terms of pure skin color. So it is interesting how it can, like within a generation or two, be unrecognizable.
The strong Anglo genes.
Yeah, of the European races, the Anglos seem to be able to just like push out all phenotypes from others quicker than most of the others.
Ryan Harris says, kudos to you all you do, gents, appreciate all you do, from a Brit that's trying to resettle in Australia, but they really are only 10 years behind. P.S. How much is Islander in Aussie? I'm not sure how much it is with the Aussie dollars.
I don't know.
I imagine it's... How different can Aussie dollars be?
100 Australian dollars, I'm sure.
Dollary dues.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. It's a five boomerang.
Base Ape says 13% of the Blangalow Blacksons were responsible for 50% of the lordships. High achievers.
All right, should we go to video comments?
Guys, if you managed to sign Elon onto a podcast, please, please, please advertise in advance so that I can get a really awesome video comment sorted out. We're talking something along the lines of this.
CSCooper.com.au.
That's some terrifying mind control going on there.
Just the sort of thing Elon would enjoy. See the funny side in.
Wait, he's reading the Communist Manifesto. Where do these clips come from?
That's amazing.
So good.
Is that from a History Channel show as well?
I've been seeing a lot of shit libs saying that we have to take in the corrupt Afghan mercenaries from the War on Terror, because if we don't, our countries have no honor. However, I find myself thinking back to my ancestral land of the Ottoman Empire, where when the Greeks rose up and threw them out of their country, the Ottomans immediately lynched all of their Greek administrators in the capital of Constantinople, not for any treachery, but for failure. And I find it interesting that most leftists will say that the Ottoman Empire was the most honorable of the colonial powers.
Was it because they were the weakest and were completely dominated by the Western powers? That's probably why. Because of the colonial powers, they were literally the worst, and therefore leftists identify with them. Because they are the worst.
We kept the Western powers kept the Ottoman Empire on life support for decades. Just as a bulwark against the Russian Empire.
The fact that it survived the 19th century is, frankly, a miracle.
Yeah, it shouldn't have done. And it wouldn't have done if we hadn't allowed it to. But then we quickly just... World War One, and yeah. It's all over.
And then Britain was like, that's some nice territory in the Levant you've got there. Oh, thank you.
Well, you've seen the artist at work. Here's some more of his artwork.
That's cool.
Oh, that's... I like that.
That's super impressive. That's great.
Oh, Paddington's let himself go, hasn't he?
Oh, bless him.
Very cool.
That James Lindsay is the ultimate woke.
Yes, and he has been woke for some time. However, I've been trying to convey a message with some of my book clubs that the woke are superb observers. They're terrible at characterising problems, but readily can point at them, no matter how hypocritical. Instead, Lindsay appears to be pointing to a deeper trap on the right that the left always falls into, intellectualism. Ivory thought towers and exclusive cliques only distance people. All that you say or do must help people's ordinary lives remain unencumbered by lofty ideals and purist notions.
I just think that whenever I see a James Lindsay post come up with the show more on Twitter, he will have written an actual essay that will not make anything clearer, that will be incredibly boring, and I think, no, not today, James, not today.
He's such a fanny, honestly.
From my segment, we've got Brian Tomlinson says, all pod at Heathrow, firearms trained. When not arresting people for naughty tweets, they perform at Heathrow's Heathrow's traffic wardens, harassing drivers not using their car parks. Car parks earns £7.50 for 30 minutes and £11.50 for an hour. Hundreds of millions of pounds of profit for Heathrow's Chinese and Qatari owners.
Mental.
Michael Drabelbis says, this is why police join the elite social media trolling, useless, uniformed desk jockeys, because an air-conditioned office beats walking a beat in an anti-stab vest and full kit. Yeah, and obviously they're, you know, just you, if you are in that job, you're obviously going to take the thing that's going to be the least stress for you,
yeah.
aren't you? And, yeah, as you say, arresting comedians in their 50s. Or policing tweets online, sitting behind a desk, is definitely, you'd rather that than the streets, wouldn't you? Especially if you're in Brixton. So, yeah, Michael DeBelbus, we're not that small. So watching some poor woman cop getting body slammed by a diverse teen, and she's 5'5" and 10 stone, can't run, barely fits in the whole kit uniform. She's right, they aren't that small.
Yeah, yeah, they're even smaller.
God, when you see those videos. Found world.
I feel bad for them because it's just like they've been brainwashed.
Oh, they've been lied to.
They've been brainwashed and lied to into thinking, yeah, like, don't worry, you can do it just as well as a 6'3" mountain of a man could.
So
no.
The thing is with that, and not to sidetrack it too much, but the thing is that's the belief that women have that they can do a job like that is a luxury belief bestowed upon them by the men in society, right? The men who made society as safe and as prosperous as it was and as a high trust as it was, that enforced a society and culture that developed into a high trust society that allowed police to be able to police by consent, right? So now these women have got this luxury belief that they can do all of this stuff, but then also simultaneously have imported a bunch of disgusting detritus from the third world that will just happily body slam them to the ground. It's like, well done.
Yeah, it's not
well done.
It's not compatible with a multicultural society.
No,
And there's a reason that Lee Kuan Yew made Singapore work, and it's because he was a brutal authoritarian. And part of me thinks that that's why our leaders want our society to go the way that it is, so that they can justify their own brutal authoritarianism as well.
Yep,
but they won't be the ones in charge by the end of it. So it'll all be for naught. That Texas girl says, genuinely don't understand how a government can ban someone from a social media platform. What right do they have? Talk about nanny state putting him in timeout in the corner. Well, this is, you know, because they obviously know that they can't pick a fight with Elon, and they obviously know that they can't really fight like the power of Twitter.
Yeah,
but
what they can
do is just take individual people off of it who reside here in Britain.
Yeah, I think that's going to be their sort of modus operandi now, is removing individuals' ability to tweet, because they also know that if they then put sanctions on X Twitter as an entity, then Donald Trump will probably be like, no, you can't do that, because he's already raised points about that before, like don't infringe on, you know, American companies, basically. So they can't do that. So what they can do, however, is individually arrest you and just be like, you can't go on
that
now.
Can't use that anymore. It's a bail condition. Sorry.
Soz, bro.
And then Bonzel Bomber says, careful there, Ted. You might offend the girls. Yeah, indeed.
Don't think you put on anywhere near as much of a thick Irish accent as you should for that one. All right, I'll read through some of mine. Also, we've got another Rumble rant through. That's a random name. One of my co-workers is half Quebecer, white, and half Haitian. She's married to a Croatian man. Both of her kids are tall, white, blonde, and blue-eyed. Carl is another great example. That he is. And maybe we'll get have a chance to talk about the mutt that is Carl Benjamin on Friday. He's not watching, right, guys? He's not watching right now. Now, I'll say it to his face. Lord Inquisitor Hector Rex. Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action, seven times is redacted. Well, I think I put a strong case towards the end of that of why the AfD, at least in terms of their rhetoric, poses quite the threat to the establishment. Germany doesn't want you. The establishment in Germany doesn't want you talking about the issues that mass immigration has brought on. At the very least, one thing that you can say about the English government, and this is giving them far too much credit, but still they do it, is they can occasionally pivot, like they have done with the England flag, with Starmer and Cooper coming out saying that they're actually in support of it. Oh, it gives us great patriotic feelings. They can try and absorb it into themselves in a way that Germany is far too rigid to do. They just outright say, no, you cannot do that. It's a common theme in Germany. Metal Dave. The AfD deaths in Germany are genuinely disturbing. 7 is too many to not at the very least arouse suspicion. We know governments in the EU are colluding against the right-wing parties who are gaining popularity, e.g. Le Pen in France. They've been doing it since the end of the Second World War, the Le Cordon Sanitaire, etc. Are the German establishment trying so hard to differentiate themselves from mid-19th century that they've got, I think mid-20th century you mean, they've gone full Stalin? Maybe. Yeah. Michael Drybelbis, in Germany, natural causes include lead poisoning, ballistic lead. As for the self-deletion, odd how he shot himself in the back of the head 4 times. No, I don't think the Clintons were involved in this, as far as I know yet. Kevin Fox, 80 years old, ongoing health issues, died of natural causes. Pretty sure a guy that old and that unwell would be easy to scare to death. Big scare followed by a heart attack, natural causes. Seems like we've got a lot of speculation in the chat today, which is absolutely fair. Lord Inquisitor Hector Rex, Mexico is looking at Germany like, you're not supposed... Hey, Eze, you're not supposed to do them all so quickly. You gotta space them out, yeah? Brian Tomlinson, regarding the AfD codgers dying, most people are too frit. Do you mean fit to stick their heads above or afraid to stick their heads above the parapet? People with short life expectancy or terminal illnesses can be brave as they have nothing left to lose. That's true. Michael Drebelbus, self-ending AfD candidate, sounds oddly Gestapo. Again, they've got priors with this. Michael Drebelbus, Nate's face during the AfD segment sums it up brilliantly. It's a face palm with the "Are you kidding me, mate?" face.
I didn't know what my face was doing, to be fair, so I do apologise.
Yeah, sometimes I do the same thing.
Speaking to the moment.
Oh dear, right, let's get some of mine. So we've got, who's this? Sophie Liv. Yeah, these people don't know how race mixing works. We see this so much in Hollywood movies. That's a white and black couple, has a not mixed race child, but a child who is somehow darker than the black parent. Yeah, that is true. That does happen. It's so funny. Guys, if you mix coffee and milk, you get latte. If you add half part more milk, there's barely any coffee left. The offspring doesn't stay black when you go down this line.
Yeah, but if you go down that line, people will accuse you of being a mid-century German.
It's true. This is true. It's
because you're recognizing that, like, heritage and genetics are a thing.
Yeah, not allowed. Not allowed. Come on. What's this? As the Arizona desert rat? Do these show writers, producers not realize that people with heavy melanation in their skin would have likely died due to vitamin D deficiencies during the Saxon age?
I tell you what, I would love to see someone trying to explain that to a BBC exec.
You're not allowed, okay? don't science these people. It's all pure ideology. And Henry Ashman says, I feel like the only times the BBC will ever portray a Briton as white will be when they're doing something seen as bad. Either that or a production portraying the British slave trades is going to be interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, you're never going to hear about this stuff. I mean, you know, we're never going to see, we're never going to see a series on, say, the Crusades, for instance, right? You're never going to learn about that. A lot of people don't know what the Crusades were, which is baffling to me.
Or they're just told it's Europeans going and murdering Muslims.
Yeah, like you're not... Or the Barbary slave trade. You're never going to learn about that, right? These are things which you're... It's not allowed.
And even more contemporary, I forget what the name of the film was, but I watched a live stream on Odyssey of someone talking about a more recent film, maybe came out in the past 5 years, about people trying to track down scam call centers. It was fiction and it was portrayed as a thriller, right? Who do you think was running and staffing this scam call center? Who was
Indians?
It was white people.
It was our producer Samson.
It was white people calling up old white people, old diverse people.
Of course.
And scamming them out of money.
Of course, of course.
Because that's how it really works.
Because those are always the accents I hear on the phone.
That is notorious, isn't it?
There is an honourable mention for me here. Luke West, Harry saw your collaboration with Chris Gard. Do you have a YouTube channel or Spotify page for your music? We've only got the one song out right now that's only on Chris's YouTube channel. We should hopefully do more in the future. If you want to find music that I've been involved with on Spotify, if you look for my old band, they're split up now, Warlock AD. I play lead guitar and contributed a lot of songwriting on the first album, Book One. So you can check that out. Hopefully you enjoy it. And also thank you to anybody watching who showed up at my gig in London on Saturday. It was a pleasure to perform for everybody and to see everybody who came down. Hopefully I'll do more soon.
Well, he has to, just so I can actually attend one of them this time, because it's...
I'm sure you'll find another excuse not to come, Luke. You don't need to feign interest.
I cannot begin to tell you the shame I have felt in the office today.
Can you not do it in London next time?
Oh, well, I mean, people want to put another one on, and I've said, can we do it, like, Manchester or somewhere else?
What? Stop doing it in cities that are just full of diversity, please. What are you doing?
Manchester's a lot better than London.
And a lot better isn't saying much.
Manchester is also a lot more local to me.
All right, yeah, whatever.
Have to deal with like
reasons come out. Right.
Yeah, it saves me money and time and convenience.
As on your point, Harry, about just to go back to what people were saying in the comments about the AFD thing as well, it's that thing that because of the... Again, you can't, even if this is entirely just as it seems, and these are old people who have died because of their own individual circumstances.
Again, just because it's low chances doesn't mean that it's impossible. Mm. There is a chance that all of this is just a coincidence that they all just happen to be dropping, but I can completely understand and sympathize with people who are very suspicious of it, especially given, as I laid out, the AFD are a threat to the German establishment as it stands.
Especially when you see a lot of the British establishment, you know, like just coming to terms with the fact that we're probably going to have a Nigel Farage, you know, Prime Minister. Like, you can see the British establishment just coming to terms. That is not the case with
They're working with how they can railroad Nigel, which will probably be easy because...
He's containment anyway. I'm convinced, like, he...
I agree. Yeah. And whatever points in his favour that he might have had, they're working to make sure that he can get railroaded. The same way that all politicians within the Blairite system are railroaded just by nature of how it works now.
Well, that's all we've got time for today, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you've enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you again at 1 p.m. tomorrow. Have a good day.